Yeah, just before you call another candidate, just want to share with the committee just a brief set note that I've just experienced. That's why I was upset. My daughter was abducted and robbed this afternoon on her way to the university, the TUT in Pretoria. But she's safe now. She's safe, completely safe, yeah. And that he took some belongings and some stuff. So it's just an issue that I was just dealing with outside, but they don't. We can proceed. Yeah. Okay, the reality of South African life. These things do happen. No, part of the statistics of people who are robbed. Can we get the next candidate? Okay, my name is Philip Mapulana. I'm with the Honorable Maase Manobule. She's the co-chairperson for this ad hoc committee. And I'm with the beautiful Honorable Members of Parliament. They will be asking you some questions, 6 in total. So the honorable members are serving the ad hoc committee for the appointment of the NYDA. Before we get to the questions, can you introduce yourself, tell us who you are, your background, including educational qualifications that you have, work background, everything about yourself. Basically, you must just convince us why we should recommend your name to be appointed as a member of the NYDA board. For 3 minutes to do that.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson and Co-Chair, and good afternoon to the honorable members. By way of introduction, Chair, I'm Siyabonga Magandla, from the Eastern Cape, born in Bata West, raised in the Eastern Cape, lived in almost every part of the province in the Eastern Cape. Graduated, matriculated in Grahamstown in 2001, went on to study at the then Technicon, studying a national diploma in journalism. It's where I was introduced to the plight and struggles of students at PE Technicon. I later became a member of the House Committee, where we're responsible for advocating for issues of young people or students on campus, particularly in residence. Upon completion of my diploma, I went to work for a community newspaper in Queenstown under the Avusa Group, where I spent about 6 months. Fortunately, at the completion of my internship at that community newspaper, I applied for a position that was advertised for the National Youth Commission for an internship. I applied, fortunately, I was invited for interviews in 2007. I was successful in the interviews and then appointed as an intern in the communications department of the National Youth Commission in 2007. I continued to work at the Youth Commission until 2009, when the Youth Commission was merged with the Umsobo Youth Fund to form the NYDA. I've continued to rise within the ranks of the organization in terms of the NYDA and the National Youth Commission until the time that I left in October of 2015. When I was leaving the agency, I was the national spokesperson for the NYDA. And while I was also at the agency, I was responsible for chairing a committee of sponsorships and donations, which is a CSI project of the National Youth Development Agency. I also acted as a senior manager for marketing and branding, responsible for the brand visibility and presence of the NYDA. In terms of academic qualifications, Chair, I've continued to study to empower myself with knowledge and information. I then enrolled at the Tshwane University of Technology, where I graduated with a BTech in journalism. I've got a certificate in business communication from UNISA. I hold a certificate in brand marketing and management from Vega. I'm currently doing my final year now in a BA degree in governance, administration, and development. In terms of the work that I do, I'm self-employed at the moment since leaving the NYDA in 2016. And the work that I do is that I own a communications company called LSM Communications, where we publish a magazine focusing on youth development called The Journey. And the purpose of the magazine is to promote youth access to information. We publish information on youth development, available opportunities, A to Z of careers, scarce skills nationally in the country, as well as information on career guidance. And it's distributed for free in high schools, TVET colleges, and universities in four provinces, which is the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo. We are targeting to go into KZN this year as part of our distribution, which we do for free, partnering with CETAs, particularly the transport CETAs, energy and water CETAs. I also work with a structure called the South African Youth Chamber of Commerce, which is a structure that submitted a nomination for my name, where they do lobby and advocacy for young people to get business opportunities in a variety of sectors. I think I've covered the background. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was a comprehensive introduction of yourself. Thank you very much, Honorable Waiter. You are scheduled to ask the first question.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Magandla. My question would be, could you briefly elaborate your understanding of the function of the NYDA in terms of the act? And the second question, in your own assessment, especially that you've been with NYDA, do you think the agency performs its mandate efficiently? If yes, how so? And if no, what are the shortcomings? And what are your what are you proposing in terms of strengthening them? Provide some practical examples.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Member. In terms of the functioning of the National Youth Development Agency as provided for in the Act, one, the NYDA was established through an Act of Parliament, Act 4 of 2008, to create and promote coordination in youth development. Now, part of the functioning of the NYDA, one, as provided for in the Act, is national youth service and social coalition. Its economic participation, its governance, training and development, its policy, its research, development, the National Youth Fund, as well as youth advisory and information services. Now, if one was to be brief in each of the functions, in terms of economic participation, the NYDA is expected by the Act to assist small to medium enterprises in terms of financial assistance, mentorship, market linkages, the voucher program, sustainability of those businesses. If you were to look at the area of policy research and development, as an institution that's entrusted with a huge mandate of youth development, the NYDA would need to use scientific evidence in the interventions that it must undertake, but also it must provide guidance to the private sector, civil society, as well as public. And for that reason, it must be able to undertake the necessary research to inform those interventions. If you are to look at the area of youth advisory and information services, one of the challenges that are facing young people is exactly that, lack of access to information. Sometimes not because opportunities are not there, but because they do not have access to that information that must assist them to access those services or products. Now, part of that element of the NYDA function is to make sure that it communicates products and services, is to make sure that it communicates other opportunities that are available to young people. But it's also to make sure that it establishes offices provincially and locally to inform the function of youth advisory services. Now, if you were to look at the National Youth Service, for instance, and social cohesion, the National Development Plan of 2030 says that young people must be at the forefront of ensuring that they live the dream of the Constitution of a united, non-racist, non-sexist, prosperous and democratic country. And therefore they must be engaged in activities through the National Youth Service Program that ensures that it improves their social capital and networks, but also inculcates in them a spirit of nation building as well as patriotism. Now, the question of whether the NYDA has fulfilled its mandate or not, I think that to some extent, a lot of good work has been done by the NYDA. If you consider the huge mandate that the agency has against the resources that have been allocated to the agency, a lot of good work has been done as well in terms of ensuring good structures of corporate governance within the NYDA. I'm saying this because if you look at the two previous annual reports of the NYDA, 2014-2015, the NYDA achieved 93% in terms of its performance indicators. It acquired a clean audit. The same happened in 2015-2016. It obtained a clean audit. It achieved a 96% in terms of its performance. It was able to reduce the salary bill from 189 to 125, a 25% decrease in terms of the salary bill. And it was able to reduce irregular expenditure as well from 138 to 265. And I think those are both performance indicators if you look at the period within which the NYDA has been existing. But that does not then translate necessarily to the impact on the ground if you speak about programs that must develop the life of young people. Much more needs to be done in that area of work. And if I were to speak practically, in terms of some of the interventions that the NYDA would have to do going forward, I think it is not enough to fund businesses of young people, because evidence has demonstrated that issues of sustainability remain a challenge. And therefore, there is a need to create value chain to encourage young people to procure services from each other. So that if a young person in Thulamahashe runs a poultry farm, that person is able to be linked with another young person who runs, for instance, a chicken franchise in Mamelodi, so that they know that they've got a market between the period of growing their chicken and the period of delivering to the other young person who owns a fast food restaurant. So that to ensure that young people don't go into business without necessarily having market where they must then dispense of the product that they are making. Also, I think the issue of the national youth service, there's a critical need for the NYCA to champion that program in a manner that is very aggressive. For instance, if you look currently at the announcement of the matric results, 12 years ago, 1.1 million young people were enrolled in school. 20 years later, 662 write matric. Out of that, 442 pass matric. The young people were fallen between the cracks there. But even with the 442 that have passed matric, there's no guarantee that they are going to be absorbed either in institutions of learning or in any form of productive work. So there must be a comprehensive national youth service program that intends to build the skills of young people so that they are able to survive on a day-to-day basis. I think the case of Namibia would be a good example how they implemented their national service program, focusing on civic participation, community volunteer services, as well as the critical elements of skills development. But also, you don't only implement a national youth service program, it must have clear exit opportunities. If you integrate the element of skills development, you must be able to train young people as plumbers, electricians, mechanics, because the reality is that on a daily basis, there are cars on the road, they must be fixed. There are people who are building houses, they must be plasterers, there are people who are going to assist to make sure that those houses are built. So those skills will go a long way in assisting those young people to survive on a day-to-day basis. You provide them with skills, but you also provide them with exit opportunities. Education and skills development as well. There's a need to link closely with CITAS. There's a need, for instance, the NYCA program of the National Youth Service. It was a very critical program, but as a pilot, because there are programs that the NYCA should not do by itself, but should initiate, design, and execute. Once they are successful, they can then hand them over to the economic ministry. I will pause there for now.
Okay, thank you very much. There are six more questions, and we have got 13 minutes to answer all of them. Just a question. Honorable Kaula.
Thanks, good afternoon, Makata. My question is going to be based on the National Development Plan. The NDP argues that it is an advantage to have a population of young people in the country, but provided those young people are youth gained otherwise are employed. Now the question to you is, taking into consideration the current labor market situation in the country, what can you recommend to ensure that public and private institutions
prioritize the employment of young people, both skills and skills, with the aim of reducing youth unemployment?
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, for that question.
One would also speak to the important role of the state-owned enterprise in terms of training artisans to develop the necessary skills for young people to be able to be absorbed into gainful employment. But also the important role of TVET colleges as articulated in the NDP, that there's a need to increase the capacity, improve the quality of the programs that are offered in TVET colleges, but also ensure that by the year 2030, you've increased the participation of young people by at least 25%. There's also a critical need to make sure that private sector companies are incentivized so that it reduces the cost of them taking in new labor, because you know, they would sometimes be reluctant to take on new entrants without a guarantee of knowing whether they will be able to have the necessary skills to undertake the work. So those incentives for the private sector are important as well. But another thing which empowers the NYDA to coordinate youth development across sectors of society, the role of the private sector needs to be re-energized. For instance, there was once a structure called the Youth Development Forum, where private sector and government used to meet to coordinate youth development, make commitments, review progress made, and also to charge other plans. So I think it's important that that structure, as part of reviving the participation of the private sector, is able to be revived.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Magala. Thank you for allowing our interview. I have a question for you regarding good governance, because I'm sure you are aware that it's one of the principles that our government to protect the public, especially in terms of decision making and ensuring the effective usage and efficient usage of resources. So I just wanted to check if you are appointed at the NYDA, how are you going to help the NYDA board to comply with the necessary principles that allow for good governance to happen. I think that's the question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Alright, then honorable member. I think firstly, it's important for one, when they assume a position or undertake a particular role, that they are clear about the role and responsibilities of the role, including the issue of good governance. The National Youth Development Agency, according to Chapter 1 of the Public Finance Management Act, is a national public institution and therefore is guided by a number of legislation that describes issues of good corporate governance. I think it's also important to mention that Chapter 10 of the Constitution on Public Service speaks about the promotion of accountability in the public service. The King Code or the King Report establishes a number of principles as well. In fact, it says the board must become a custodian and a focal point of good corporate governance. Now, effectively, good corporate governance means effective leadership. It's about leadership that is able to provide a strategy for the organization, a clear vision for the organization, ethical values of the organization that must guide the behavior and the conduct of the institution. It speaks to the principles that, once more, I established in the National Youth Development Agency Act, which speaks to transparency, accountability, accessibility. So it's the role of a leader, and I intend to continue to assume that responsibility, as I've continued to do with my other previous work and the current work that I'm doing, to be transparent in what I do, to be accountable, to be accessible, to make sure that the board upholds both governance principles and systems in terms of financial management, in terms of risk, in terms of ensuring that the fiduciary duties of the board of providing necessary protection to the assets and the records of the organization are upheld. So I intend to make that contribution as part of my understanding of what it means to undertake good corporate governance.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Katsin.
Thank you.
one of the main objectives of the NYDA Act is to develop an integrated youth development plan and strategy for South Africa, and to develop guidelines for the implementation of the strategy and make recommendations to the President. Can you please elaborate on your understanding of the integrated youth development strategy and why this strategy is important?
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think since the dawn of democracy, South Africa has always recognized the important need of all sectors of society to be guided by an integrated approach when it comes to youth development. Members would remember that even in 1994, when the Youth Development Forum was convened by the then president, the question was whether to take the route of a commission or that of a minister. And the country opted for the route of a ministry, primarily because of the importance of mainstreaming and integration of youth development. But it's only in 2008, when the NYDA Act was enacted, that the issue of the IYDS then came to the fore. What the Act does is to instruct the NYDA to develop an integrated youth development strategy and plan for South Africa. Previous legislations have recognized the need for an integrated strategy, but they were not explicit in terms of saying the NYDA must develop a strategy. For instance, the National Youth Policy Development Framework of 2002 to 2007 spoke of an integrated holistic approach of youth development, but it was not explicit in terms of instructing the agents or any structure to undertake that plan or strategy. Now, the fact that it was emphasized in the NYDA Act means that it was putting emphasis and a recognition to the fact that it is not possible for one institution to implement youth development programs that can adequately mainstream or integrate young people to the economy or to society. Now, it means that the IYDS, or the Integrated Development Strategy, is not and cannot be prepared for the NYDA alone. It becomes a guiding document or a tool for youth development advancement in the country that must be implemented by all stakeholders. It was then adopted in 2011 in a youth convention in Kimberley, in the Salt Planning Municipality. And it's based really on a number of documents or legislative frameworks. The Constitution is one of them, the NDP, the NYDA Act, the National Youth Police. And it seeks to create an environment where young people are economically and socially uplifted and are able to compete globally with other young people. It has got a few objectives, among which is to promote uniformity or a uniform approach in terms of youth development. It's to establish anchor programs targeting vulnerable groups, young women with disabilities, and young people in rural areas. And lastly, it's to make sure that there's a nationally coordinated mechanism of coordination as well as monitoring. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mali. See, Honorable Mali is enjoying listening to the responses. Now, no, thanks, I'm trying to ask the question now. Thanks. Good day, Mr. Makata. I've got just one question for you. I've seen your CV, you've been with the NYDA for almost 8 or 9 years and different manager levels. But my position is with regard to the youth policy, the national youth policy, the 2015-2020 vision. And I want you to share with this panel your own understanding of the objectives of the national youth policy and how your own view should the board achieve those objectives. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The national youth policy 2021 is intended to redress the wrongs of the past. Secondly, to create a conducive environment for young people to reach their full potential. Now, it proposes a number of broad interventions, one of which is economic participation and transformation, whereby it says that the economy must be able to be on a development path that is able to be labor absorbent. It must speak to issues of industrialization, but also economic diversification. The second one speaks to education, skills, and second chance. The NDP makes the point that there's no country that has successfully moved from developing to developed without educating its population. So then it underscores the importance of that objective or that broad intervention. I've spoken earlier to the critical importance of skills development and second chance. The third one is healthcare and combating substance abuse. Young people are prone, amongst other things, to risky behavior. You look at vulnerable groups like young women, for instance, who are exposed to risky behavior once again, issues of sexuality and their reproduction. If you look, for instance, at the study that was conducted by the Human Sciences Research Council in 2008, it indicates that the HIV prevalence amongst young people is high amongst the ages of 20 to 34, which speaks to the vulnerability of these young people. Now, interventions in that regard are necessary to make sure that we reduce such prevalence. But also on combating substance abuse, there's a need to undertake programs in partnership, for instance, with the Department of Health. But also the creation of structures in communities that must seek to make sure that young people are educated about the dangers of substance abuse. The national policy also speaks to the issue of national nation building and social cohesion. And as I've indicated before, the NDP advises that young people must be at the forefront of realizing the dream of the community. Unity, non-racialism, non-sexism, prosperous, and a democratic society. But also the NDP envies it is a situation where in 2030 South Africa would be a cohesive society, where we will be beyond issues of race, class, gender, and other discriminations. But you need an active youth strategy that will stick to those, in fact, programs that will respond to that component of the nationalist policy. Like educating young people about the preamble of the Constitution, which really embodies what it means to be a South African, national color, reciting of the national anthem, but also to understand the background of where the country is coming from. But also it's important that as part of that component of the national youth policy, we infuse the element of the NDP, that it must be taken to young people. It must not become a document that is not accessible, because it's a vision for the country, and it's important for young people to understand that collective vision so that they take part in making it a reality. The last one, Chair, speaks to effective and responsive youth development institutions. Speaks about the role of the presidential youth working group, which is an important structure of engaging young people directly with the president. It speaks about the important role of strengthening civil society through providing capacity to the South African Youth Council so that in turn it's able to provide and build the capacity of its member organizations. It speaks to the importance of collaborating with other multilateral youth organizations in the Pacific region. I will pause.
Okay, thank you very much. The last question will be asked by Honorable Ranopol.
Thank you, Chen. Good afternoon, Mr. Maganda.
It's very protective of so I think you should be followed properly.
She's
sort of speaking, so you must you mustn't be too hard.
Thank you. Mine is the question that I'm going to put to you. It's about the principles of youth development. And I think it's a good thing that we just responded to the question with regards to national youth policy. Taking from that, the NYDA Act and then the National Youth Commission. That is the principle of youth development. And it has to appoint it to those. Taking that into consideration, knowing that in the previous years there's been some perception about the agency already that it's best to serve certain section of the youth. So now, yourself, if I say to you, what do you think that can be done to address those negative perceptions among the youth with regard to imagine that it's best to serve the certain section of the
section of your record.
Thank you, sir. The issue did arise at one point, but it was the issue of having communication between the service provider and myself at the time. It was a contract that had been closed, according to my understanding, only to learn that it was not closed. So we closed that issue a couple of years back.
Do you have a record of that?
I can find that information.
Okay. Important for us to get a record before we get into deliberation. So as soon as you can, please communicate that information with that deliberation. Just give them confirmation that this matter has been closed, and how it has been closed, and what was the misunderstanding, so that when we meet, we don't have this negative record that is lingering, so that we are able to deliberate having understood that this matter has been resolved. You want a follow-up? I'm gonna allow one. Remember, when you are chairing the meeting, there are certain privileges that you exercise, Honorable Mohabi. Like deciding whether you take follow-ups or what. So I'm giving Honorable Mohabi.
Not much. I was looking through the CV and listening to your presentation, which is convincing in terms of theoretical understanding of what the whole issue regarding youth development. But in your CV, I'm seriously hungry for the practical involvement in youth development issues or community development. Because that is where you get the understanding daily that what young people want. I didn't see that. I just see your managerial experience and your business, your magazine, blah, blah, blah. But I'm hungry for that information. Your practical involvement.
I don't know what to rule, but you can answer the question.
Answer the question, yeah.
I'll explain myself after.
Just
answer the question.
Okay, no, thank you very much, sir. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to give examples of community work that I've done. Okay.
The question is, with the Honorable Buwari was going through your CV, and he picks up that he has been involved in youth development at the managerial level. So he was asking if you've got practical experience of getting involved in practical youth development programs and projects in the community.
Thank you very much. I'll mention three. One, when I was working in Queenstown for the 6 months internship that I've spoken to, I established Sports Against Crime, which was a soccer tournament that would be played every end of the month, bringing together young people so that, as opposed to utilizing their time on the weekend doing activities that are not productive, they rather participate in sports. Well, playing soccer is one of my favorite activities. So that was one of the effective programs that I came up with while I was in Queenstown. So it involves a number of stakeholders, including the municipality and the police in Queenstown. When I moved to Gauteng to work for the National Youth Commission, I was also involved in a strike in Pretoria, which I was chairing, which was called the Youth Development Forum. One of the things that I'm passionate about, Chair, is the provision of access to information to young people, because I believe it's very critical. Sometimes we young people make misinformed decisions because because they do not have adequate access to information. Now, one of the things that we would do through the Youth Development Forum would be to invite institutions like the local economic development office fund, to come and make presentations to young people about the opportunities that are there. I would also invite the NYDA to come and make presentations to young people so that they gain access to information. I think the last one, which is also important to note, is the one that Honourable Member is reflected in my profile, which is the magazine that I started in June 2016 as part of the 40th anniversary of celebrating June 16. It was deliberate to launch the magazine at that period because it was a milestone achievement in the history of the country. That publication, once again, seeks to promote access to information to young people and is distributed for free, working with CITAS, who also provide information on programs that they have so that young people are able to know what skill development programs they can get involved in. So as much as it's conducted under my formal business, the fact that it's a free publication that we distribute to school makes it a community development project.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And there is a project that I said I don't want to rule on the question, but you did refer to that in your introduction, the magazine. But thank you very much. We will deliberate after this process and prepare our report to both Houses of Parliament after approval of the names that would have recommended the report and the recommendation will go to the President. And once the President agrees, then if you are successful, you will be notified. Thank you very much for coming. So the next